Begin Perek Shishi, the sixth chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Nachlois, in the Laws of Inheritance, in the Sefer Mishpatim, Book of Judgments. We will continue the theme regarding how to identify who are the inheritors. In this part, we actually discuss regarding deviating from the general category of the halachas of Yerusha, which under Rambam gives halacha of regarding one shouldn't change the statutes of Yerusha. In Odom Yachal Ha'edush, a person cannot bequeath Lamisha in the early Yerusha, to someone that's not appropriate, that's not the category of inheritance, and the lelakar hayirushim in the yerush, and neither to uproot the inheritance from someone who is within the purview of inheritance. Although this is a monetary situation, and generally we have a category of halacha that you can make any stipulation you want regarding monetary law, but here it's flying directly in the face of what the Torah says. Because there's in the pasuk bepashas nachalus in the parsha of inheritance in Sefer Bamidbar v'hoisel bnei Yisrael l'chukas mishpat, that this will be for the Jewish people a statute of judgment limit to say shechukah zulay neshtana, that this statute should not change, reina tenai moilba, and that stipulations are not effective. And this is Bein Shatziva Behubari, whether he made this command when he was healthy, Bein Shayosh Chimra, whether he's a dying person on his deathbed, Bein Alpeh, Bein Meksav, whether orally, whether in writing, doesn't make a difference. Ein Moel, you cannot be Masna Masha Kasa B'Torah, you cannot stipulate directly contradicting what the Torah says, who should be the Yerush. Halacha Beis now talks about regarding the reliance of a dying person regarding his last will. Figure therefore, if someone says, Ish Pleini B'ni B'chayri, that man, my son, the firstborn, Lo yitol pishnayim, I don't want him to take a double portion. Or ish pleini b'nei, that person, my son, lo yidish amechav, I don't want him to inherit with his brothers. Lo yimakul, he hasn't said anything, because the Torah says he does get this Yerusha or a Yerusha. Let's say he says, ish pleini yidish eini, that person should inherit me, but mokim shish lebas, he has a daughter, but he wants that person to inherit him. Or biti tirish eini, he wants his daughter to inherit him, but mokim shish leben, where there is a son, which again, those are the ones who he's trying to say take the place, are supposed to inherit. Loyal Maklumi hasn't said anything. Bechen Kayetzim said anything similar like this, where you're trying to take the place of the true Yairish and say this person should Yarshin, that is nothing, that's not valid. Now, Aval Hoylo Yarshin Rabimov, let's say, had many people ready to inherit him. Kugan Bonim Rabim, he had many sons, or many brothers, or many daughters. And they're their category of inheriting. When he was a dying person, many brothers, no children, and says, I want that person, my brother, he should inherit from all my brothers. He only had daughters. And he wants that one daughter to inherit him from all the daughters that he had. That dvarv kayama, that his words are valid. Whether he said it orally, whether he had it written down, because that person is one of the Yerushim. And he's allowed to select them for that. But if he says, and this is specifically, if he says, I only want that son to inherit me, where a son is different than other Yerushim in this regard, where if he says it orally, okay, then his words are valid. But if he wrote off all his properties to the son, that's not an indicator that he only wants him to Yarshin it, because he actually only is making him into a caretaker. We explained this in the sixth parak in Hilchos Zechim Matan Halacha Beis and Halacha Gimel. And he just wants the other brothers to respect him and to listen to him, but really he's not taking away anyone else's Yerusha, and that's specifically by his son, in contrast to any other of the other categories of Yerusha. Halacha Gimel. Amar, let's say he says, Pleini b'ni, that person, my son, Yirash Chatzi Nechasa, I want to inherit half of my estate. Usho b'nai ha-chatzi, and my other sons will get the other half. So the Rav Kerem, his words are valid, and that's obvious based on what we said in the previous halacha, that you could even do the whole Yerusha to one son. But if he says, and that's what we're only saying it as an introduction to the next, however, the contrast. But if he says that the firstborn Yiddish Kapashid should inherit like a regular brother, which Amar says, Lo Yiddish Pishnai Mimechav, he shouldn't get a double portion with his brothers, Lo Yama Kum, he hasn't said anything. Because the Pasuk says it explicitly not like that. It says, Lo Yuchel Levaker, he cannot go ahead and give preference to give the firstborn portion. As Ben Ahuva, the beloved son, Alpnei Ben Hasnua Habachar, instead of the hated son, who is the firstborn son. Rather, he should recognize the firstborn, which is the son of the hated one. As it says in Devarim, you see explicitly, you cannot downgrade, you cannot take away the halacha of the Bechar from the firstborn. Halacha Dal, now Vimhoi Bari, if he was a healthy person, you cannot add, you cannot diminish, not for the firstborn, not for any one of the other inheritors. Again, there's no right to change, to rewrite the halachas of inheritance. Now, halacha hey talks about relying on him when it comes, however, to a gift. But when do we say this in Halacha Aleph that a person cannot go ahead and give the Yerusha to whoever is not in the appropriate Yerush? And also what we just said in Halacha Dalad regarding a healthy person is Kesh'ama B'loshin Yerusha. If he said it in the terminology of Yerusha, of inheritance, that the Torah says that this is the way it's supposed to be, and he can't change that. But if we give a gift, then this is where it's about. If someone's dividing orally his estate to his sons in the terminology of a gift, when he's a dying person, so gives more to one child and less to another one, and he makes the bechor equal to all the other children, his words are valid. But if he says it in the framework of inheritance, like we said, he hasn't said anything because the Torah says no, that the firstborn has to get a double portion. Kasav, if he writes, whether in the beginning or the middle or at the end, that Meshum HaTana, that's because of a gift. So even though he mentions that it's inheritance that he's changing over here in the beginning or the end, doesn't make a difference. As long as he mentions somewhere that it's a gift, then, like we said, a gift he's allowed to do as he pleases. So let's say he writes, Tinasin Sada Pleni Lepleni Bani. Let that field be given to that son of mine, the Yerushin, and he'll inherit it. Even though you're saying Yerusha, which you cannot single out and change, the law, rewrite the laws, but you're saying the terminology of tenas and gifting some point, that's going to be valid. That was where it was in the beginning. Or Shoma, let's say he says, Yerushena, let him inherit it, but tenas and lay, and it should be given to him, Yerushena, and he'll inherit it. So the word matana, tenas and lay, is there in the middle. Or Yerushena, but tenas and lay, he should inherit it, and it should be given to him, whether it's mentioned at the end, the gifting. So, since there is over the terminology of a gift, even though they mentioned the terminology of inheriting in the beginning and the end, his words are going to be valid because it's at least in mentioned that it's a gift. Same thing is, if there's three different fields for three different inheritors, and he says, okay, Yiddish plain, you said the plainness, let that person inherit that field. And so the first one he said, Lashon Yerusha. The second one he says, Betinus Laplain, you said the plainness, let that field be given to that person. And the Yiddish plain, you said the plainness. And then for the last one again, he says, let that last person inherit that field. Kana they acquired. Even though the one that he said a terminology of inheritance, it's not the one they said a terminology of a gift, but somewhere along there it mentioned gifting to at least one of them. But this is only if he doesn't delay. Between the talking that he said to each one cannot be a delay of the amount of time that it takes for a student to greet his rabbi by saying Shalom Alecha Rabbi Meri, peace upon you, my teacher and my instructor. But if he delayed, then it's considered as distinct. Then it wouldn't connect to, say, the terminology of matana that he said for one, for the other one. And then, then you would have to have the terminology of gifting, to then go ahead and intermingle it for all three, that it's going on them all. As Ramagin continues, Halacha Zayin, Ketz at Hauso, that we're on this last point. If the terminology of gifting was in the middle, so and you delayed, so it's not going on it, so you have to then mix it all together again, that it should be that they're all being gifted. So Yemei should say like this, Pleini u Pleini, that person and that person, Yirshu sode Pleini u Pleini, they will inherit that and that of field, Shenasatim lehem b'matana, that I gave them with a gift, v'yirashim, and they'll inherit it. So you see that, although they have Yirush over there, in the beginning and the end, but the terminology of gifting there is mentioned in the middle, Shenasatim lehem. Now, let's say the terminology of gifting was in the beginning. So, you should say, let such and such fields be given to such and such a person, and they'll inherit them. So, it started off with Tinasin. And if the terminology of gifting was at the end, you should say, Yiddish plenty, plenty, sada plenty, plenty, let such and such a person inherit such and such a field. I give them with a gift. Again, but it has to include them all with a Lashon HaMatana. Halacha Ches, regarding stipulations that apply to the inheritance of spouses. So Yerusha Sabal, the inheritance that a husband has in his wife's estate, although it's from rabbinic law, they strengthen their rabbinic law like it is regarding biblical law. And therefore, like we said regarding the biblical Yerusha, so therefore stipulations are not effective if, let's say, she stipulates that he shouldn't inherit her. Ella, imkein his nema, unless if he stipulated with her, kishyarusa, when she was still engaged. K'mishban hilchas ish, like we explain the laws of marriage and perichav chav gimel, halacha beis and halacha bav, only then will the stipulation be effective. Halacha tes contains regarding the inheritance of Gentiles and of converts. Hagoy yudishes ovid vater. According to biblical law, a non-Jew inherits his father. But there are other laws of inheritance. We let them do it according to whatever their customs are. However, if one of the children convert to Judaism, in the Yerushas of Hagoy, does not inherit his father, the Gentile, element of Reim, only from rabbinic law, but because biblically, a Gershon is guy, when he converts, it becomes like a newborn child, and it loses any of the connectivity and relationship of the previous phase of his life. So, but Tiknu Leish Yiddish Kishayi, but the rabbis instituted that he should inherit as he used to when he was still not Jewish, because Shemi Yachzal Mirdi might cause him to rebel and go back to being non-Jewish because he doesn't want to lose out in the inheritance. Now, the Yerodli says, Ram, it appears to me, but a stipulation, unlike all the other Yerushas we mentioned, a stipulation would be effective if, let's say, he stipulated before he converts that he doesn't want to inherit, that he will not inherit. Because the Gentile doesn't have to maintain the rabbinic institution, he could pardon this before he converts. Now, the other way around, if the father converts and the child is not Jewish, the non-Jewish child does not inherit the father, the ger, because, like we said, there's no relationship and there's no need for the child who is not Jewish to have this concern of going back. And also, below ger yerush is ger. Neither, if let's say a father and a son or two brothers convert, the one ger does not inherit the other ger. Limited b'teva, limited b'seva, not from biblical law, and not even from rabbinical law. And the reason that is, what we said by the ger is that we let him, because we're concerned he might go back to being non-Jewish. That doesn't apply over here, because going back to non-Jewish is not going to make him inherit his father, who's also was megayer, and therefore wouldn't help, and therefore there's no reason for that rabbinic institution. Halacha yud aleph, regarding the inheritance of those who are inappropriate. So, kol ha'nosin nechasav l'acher, whoever gives his properties to others, v'nich ha'yoshin, and he leaves, forsakes his inheritors, even if the inheritors are not people that act with proper conduct, the spirit of the sage is not pleased with such a person, because it ultimately a person uprooting the biblical inheritance. However, if he gifted it to the others, they do merit whatever was gifted to them. Now, midas chasidus, it's an act of piety, that a person who is a pious person should not be a witness, in a last will, which are removing the inheritance from the inheritor, even from a son who's not acting appropriately, even though it's going to a brother who's a sage and acts appropriately, again, it's still uprooting the biblical Yerusha, and one should not be an aid if he's a chassid on such a document. A Jew who rebels against his religion, he still inherits his relatives that are Jewish, like he was before he was a renegade. Now, vimro bezin la'abedas b'mayna, but if the court see fit to make him lose his money, his monetary rights, ulekantzer shalei yiddish, and to penalize him that he should not inherit, kadei shalei l'chazik esedem, not to strengthen those heretics who leave the religion, harashus b'yadam, the permission is given in the courts, they have the ability for hefke bezin hefke, to do with the money as they please. V'im yesh le'bon b'yisrael, now if, let's say, that mumer, he himself has Jewish children, so to nusin yerushas avim amumer, so then the inheritance of the father and the mumer should be given lahem to them because they are conducting themselves with the appropriate conduct. So too, this is always the custom in the West, which actually refers to Europe, which to the west of Egypt, which was where the Rambam was writing this. Halacha Gimel concludes regarding a moral, ethical treatise regarding this idea about changing the inheritance as it applies in general. The sages command a person should not deviate between his sons in his lifetime. I feel a bit of a movement even by something very small. And the reason is that they shouldn't come to competition and to jealousy. Like the brothers Yosef with Yosef, that for this same as possible, this small tunic that he changed a little bit of value to do Yosef a little bit more than the brothers, caused the hatred of the brothers and ultimately the huge exile to Egypt. So therefore one should never deviate from the children to treat one differently than the other.